Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jolly Flicks Podcast. My name is Lisa, and thank you for joining us. So last week, I told you guys that we were going to do a Christmas classic based off of what my poll was, and it was between It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Carol, and White Christmas. And our winner is Miracle on 34th Street, the 1947 version. I like this movie. It was hard for me to get into, to be 100%, but I will get more into that in our personal thoughts. So let's just dive right into this. Miracle on 34th Street was released in 1947 and runs at an hour and 36 minutes long. And the synopsis goes like this. In this Christmas classic, an old man going by the name of Kris Kringle fills in for an intoxicated Santa in Macy's annual Thanksgiving Day parade. Kringle proves to be such a hit that he is soon appearing regularly at the chain's main store in Midtown Manhattan. When Kringle surprises customers and employees alike by claiming that he really is Santa Claus, it leads to a court case to determine his mental health and, more importantly, his authenticity. This was released on May 2nd, 1947, which so far, a lot of the movies that we have reviewed are closer to Christmas time. So apparently, back in 1947, they didn't get the memo. But there is something behind that. This was supposed to be called Christmas Miracle on 34th Street, but they didn't want it to be known as a Christmas movie. So that's why they cut out the Christmas completely and it just is called Miracle on 34th Street. You can watch this movie on Disney Plus. It was directed by George Seton, the story by Valentine Davies, and it was distributed by 20th Century Studios. Our first actor as good old Kris Kringle is Edmund Gwenn. He was also in The Trouble with Harry, Them, Mr. 880, The Bigamist, and Hills of Home. We have Natalie Wood as Susan Walker, and she starred in West Side Story, Rebel Without a Cause, Splendor in the Grass, The Great Race, The Searchers. We have Maureen O'Hara as Doris Walker. She also starred in The Quiet Man, McLeantock, Rio Grande, How Green Was My Valley, and The Parent Trap, the OG Parent Trap, the 1961 version. We have John Payne as Fred Gailey. He also starred in Kansas City Confidential, The Restless Gun, Sun Valley Serenade, 99 River Street, and Silver Lode. We have Alvin Greenman as Alfred. He was in Mr. Belvedere Goes to College, The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, The Frisco Kid, The Last Time I Saw Paris, and The Cobweb. And then we have Harry Antrim as R.H. Macy, and he also starred in The Bounty Hunter, Tomorrow is Another Day, I'll See You in My Dreams, Devil's Doorway, Act of Violence, and Teacher's Pet. So to give a little of my personal thoughts, I first watched this film with my film literature class for the school I teach at. And I had never seen it before then. So I think I've seen partials of the remake back in the 90s, I believe, is when that one came out. But, you know, it's especially nowadays, it's hard to get into those black and white films because you just can't really capture the feeling and the mood and everything. So, I mean, I did think it was slow just because of the black and white and its older acting. So, you know, just the way everybody talks, the mannerisms, everything like that is 100% different than what we're going to see today in movies. Which honestly, that kind of gives it that little old charm. We have the sassy little Miss Susan. She's very outspoken, and all while acting like a little lady. Like, everybody nowadays calls girls girls. But I think there's something really interesting about having a little girl and having a little lady. Because I think the idea around having a little lady is the mannerisms and the way that she talks and the way that she acts. And she almost acts like a young lady or a mature lady. You know, she doesn't really have a father figure around. And that's what Fred's for. So, you know, she probably keeps a good wall up just because of that. And who can blame her, right? So then let's talk about Kris Kringle. He is a very lovable character from the start. When he's at the parade, he's like, yes, I'll do it. Not a problem. If you need me extra, just call me. He's so lovable. He definitely has that Santa charm to him with the beard and the way that he interacts with the kids. And, you know, he does capture the magic of keeping Santa alive throughout the entire film. And, you know, just, yes, it's acting, but as being the character, you are so drawn into it that you're like, yes, like, I could believe that he is actually Santa Claus. And the other thing I wanted to touch on is the adults. So what the adults with the kids are okay, right? They're like, oh, thank you. Like, my kid still believes you're keeping the magic of Christmas alive. But then you have these corporate sons of guns that are just like all tough and mighty. Like, who does this guy think he is? He's just portraying this person. He doesn't need to be the way that he is. He's misleading these kids. And when kids are that young, like, allow them to have that belief, allow them to have that magic in their life. Like, it's really not hurting anyone. But to go so far and run a mental health case on him, that's kind of over the limit, if you ask me. It's really not that big of a deal. And, you know, going to court was very unnecessary. So let's dive into Frosty's five fun facts. So this movie shot on location at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which, if you think about it, makes a lot of sense, because I'm sure they didn't have a huge budget back then to recreate their own parade. So they're like, well, why don't we just use the actual thing, which actually adds that charm more to the movie itself. Another fact is that two actors that didn't have a huge role, but they did have some supporting roles, were destined for TV and film greatness. In the courtroom, we see Mr. William Frawley. And if he looks familiar to you, he plays Fred on I Love Lucy. An old, mean neighbor, stubborn guy who has that good old man charm. So he definitely launched a career after this movie, which I'm sure he had a career anyways, but I Love Lucy was such a great franchise for him. And then in the mail room, we have Jack Albertson. And you might not recognize him in this film, but he is Grandpa Joe in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie. So obviously he went on from this very small role and led on to a movie that will be known today and has multiple remakes. So how cool is it to see, you know, two actors and even the cast in general go on to be Hollywood legends, the old Hollywood legends. Another fact I have for you guys is on Kris Kringle's medical card, under where it says next of kin, it says Donder not Donner, as in, yes, one of the reindeer, Donder. So this is my question. Have we been saying it wrong the whole time? And it's just been created into this new name because no one could say or really paid attention to it saying Donder, because all the other reindeer's names are spelled correctly except that one. So that's also just a fascinating thing. Maybe we need to do some more research out there, my other Christmas lovers, and we need to get to the bottom of this because we got to start correcting all the Christmas people. At the time that this movie was made, there was actually an intense rivalry between Macy and Gimbel's, which, if we think about it, department stores are always fighting against each other. But back then, especially, there probably wasn't many options. So these two were it. Like, you went to one or you went to the other, and they were like fighting to see who could get the better customer count. And, you know, that's why Macy's was like, let's get Kris Kringle in here, please. And that's, I think, having Santa Claus really helped push their promotions over the years. Which, if we're thinking about it now, why did they use this movie for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? I'm just saying. It all makes sense. It all ties into each other. And the last fact I have for you guys is Edmund Gwenn had to gain 30 pounds for the movie. Just so he could play Santa, he had to gain 30 pounds in like 5 inches or like an odd number of inches. I'm sorry, but I guess fat suits didn't exist at this time. Like, how hard was it to just put like a small pillow and then a bigger pillow and then a bigger pillow? But, you know, actors and actresses do crazy things for roles, and maybe Edmund Gwenn is the starter of it all. He's like, I'll do it. It's not a problem. And then everybody looks at him and they're like, well, if he can do it, then I can do it. So we'll say Edmund Gwenn was the first one to shape his own body for his project. Don't quote me on it, but I'm going to say it. Now let's get into our tinsel time. All right, so for this week's tinsel time, I asked, you know, like, what are your thoughts on this movie? But the second thing I added was, have you ever actually heard of this movie? And so I had some people answer to either one part or both parts of the questions, and I'll address that. So the first comment we had is, this is my all-time favorite Christmas movie. And I could see why this is your all-time favorite Christmas movie. I really can. It definitely has that old-fashioned charm. And, you know, like, if you really put yourself into the time when this movie was made, you would be like, wow, this is incredible. No CGI needed, nothing like that. You don't even need color to make something great. Our next comment was, of course I have heard of this classic, but I couldn't really tell you if I've watched it all the way through. I get it. This is one of those movies that's kind of hard to just like sit down and watch if you're not in the mindset for it, because it's so different than what we are used to in the film industry nowadays. So I get it. I had one person answer me, nope. That's it. So nope, never heard of it. And again, it's not really one that's publicized 24/7 out here. Especially during the holiday season. So if you do want to watch it, I suggest, you know, there's a first time for everything. And then our last comment was, absolutely love this movie. And yeah, again, just going back to the first comment that was made about this film, I can see it. I can understand why people love this film. Now let's move on to Santa's scale. All right, I am giving Miracle on 34th Street, the 1947 version, And some of you are going to hate me for it, but I am doing a 6.5 out of 10. And I believe this is my lowest rating so far. I will say this movie had a great setup for the time that it was in. Parts of the storyline were great. Don't really understand why we need to portray Santa as a mental institution person. Like, I don't get that. It also is hard to watch sometimes and stay super focused in, just because of its old style and being in black and white. And I just also do not like the most of the adults in this movie. They're just ridiculous. But, you know, I'm sure a lot of people at that time were on their high horse for whatever reason that they wanted to be. And yes, there were some sweet moments, especially with Susan and Chris, and then Susan ended up getting a house at the end, and it just, there was very sweet moments, I will say that. But yes, I'm going to stick with my 6.5, leaning more towards a 7. Maybe there's one thing that could have happened more for me to bump it up to a 7, but this is my rating. And this brings us to the end. So for our next movie, I actually have 6 different films on my Tiny Decision app on my phone right now. And I am just going to spin the wheel, and whatever it lands on, that is the movie I am going to be doing for the next show. So our options on here are Disney's The Ultimate Christmas Present, which is a Disney Channel DCOM, is what they call them. Daddy's Home 2, A Bad Mom's Christmas, Bad Santa. Then I wanted to throw some wild ones in there. So I did Hallmark's A Royal Christmas and Hallmark's 3 Wise Men and a Baby. All right, let's see which one we will be reviewing next week. A Bad Mom's Christmas. Let's go. Oh my gosh, so excited for this one. I know it's on Netflix right now, so if you guys like to watch the movies before I review them, go on Netflix. It's on there. Actually, I'm pretty sure I just watched this one like last week, so it'll be great. It'll be good. And I will see you guys all next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye now.